step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show and to a new season. It's 2017-2018. Now, the observant amongst you would have realised I am Tim Fuel and not Caroline Barker. She's out supporting the England Lionesses, and this is more a season preview than the standard Non-League Show fare. But with the National League kicking off this weekend, with August barely underway, and the FA Cup commencing even before that, we thought it important to kickstart our own season a little earlier than usual, to offer a little insight from the Non-League experts before things get fully underway.
So, start the season. The show's back, the season's back. Non-league football kicks off this Saturday in many leagues up and down the country. And joining us on the line, Mark Ruthers, editor of nonleaguedaily.com, old friend of the show. Now Mark, it's been quite a busy summer for non-league clubs, and lots of changes afoot. Any that particularly stick in your mind?
Well, it's hot nowhere to start, isn't it? It's been such a busy summer, as you said there. If I can just start with the North East, obviously Hartlepool, one of the newest non-league clubs, new name in the National League, since we're a lot of changes. Craig Harris, who had a great success at TNS in Wales, has come in and really washed away the kind of spectre of relegation. He's got on bringing in new players, brought in players with National League experience. And I really fancy Hartlepool to do well this season. I'm not sure they'll win the league, but I think they'll be in the playoffs. Obviously, as we know, Leighton Orient have come down with them, and I think the success story for Leighton Orient is at the start of the season with the club intact. You know, it was looking a bit suspect what was going on down there under the previous owner. He's now moved on, and things are getting moving. I was going around the league, they've got the story of Salford going full time and really kicking things up the gear. And obviously, we can't ignore the rugby town, can we? Everything going on down there, the former Premier League players, the money that Glenn Tampen's putting in there, it's a lot of money, and you hope it comes off them because the ambition's certainly there. But it's been a busy summer, and as you say, a lot to talk about.
And you spoke about Leighton Orient and Hartlepool. Now, both of those with new managers, is it too soon to do it in the first season? I know Lincoln did it last year with Danny Cowley, but do you need some time to bed in, particularly at that National League, because it's so competitive? There's so many big name managers that are there.
Yeah, I think if you focus on Hartlepool first, I think Craig knows the league inside out. I did ask the question at the press conference, having never managed in the National League, was he aware of what was in there? And I was forcefully told that he was fully aware of the ins and outs of every club. He seems to know his stuff, so I think it is possible, but we'll need a good start. And Leighton Orient, as I said, a manager who has had success in the Football League, who will bring his own ideas. I did feel a little bit for Morris. I think he should have been given a chance, but new owners on for a new name, and they will need luck, they will need injuries to be to be matched with them. But I think the big thing for me with two relegated sides is at some point reality is going to bite, and they might get beat away on a Tuesday night somewhere they were expecting to win. There might be someone, one of the smaller clubs in the league, might come to Victoria Park or Brisbane Road and hold them to a draw. It'll be frustrating, they'll get bogged down. And it's really about how both clubs react and how both sets of fans react.
Yeah, you mentioned other clubs there. Tranmere, having come so close last season, are they going to be favourites, or is it always difficult to bounce back from that playoff defeat, isn't it?
It is. I will say they are my favourites. I've been quite vocal on social media saying that I think Tranmere will be the ones that will go. I think sometimes we tend to look at it negatively, that they've had a playoff final defeat, so that will carry on into the season. You could look at it the other way and say it could motivate them. You know, they know they've gone that far, weren't that far away last season. They've got a quality in the summer and real quality that I think will just tip them over the line. I really think they can win it. And in Mickey Mellon, I think they've got a very, very good manager.
Indeed. I mentioned managers earlier, and I think the manager effect at this level, it seems to have a major impact on whether sides stay the distance, whether they're able to keep runs going on different fronts. And looking at the two clubs, obviously champions from the National South and National North last year, you've got someone like Alan Devonshire at Maidenhead United and Dave Challoner at AFC Fylde. I mean, there's some big names and lots of experience there. I'm sure they're going to do well again in this division as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are hoping Fylde to be outsiders for the playoffs. Obviously, being a good investment all down the last few years. Dave Challoner is always I enjoy talking to Dave whenever I've interviewed him. Clearly loves the game, knows the game inside out. He's pretty passionate about Fylde and the whole, the whole project they've got going on there. But they've invested well this summer. They've brought in some very, very good players. And I don't think they'll be too far away if they get off to a good start. When you look at Maidenhead, I think everyone will talk about Dave Tarpey, given what he did last season. Prolific. Probably doesn't do it just the same prolific. They'll need him to fire again this season, I think. But as you quite rightly said, Alan Devonshire, they have a lot of experience. Someone that's been around the non-league scene for a good few years now, but knows the other end of the game from his playing career. It's going to be interesting to see how those two get on the scene.
Yeah, and you, again, mentioned earlier about project teams. And non-league's all about building from the bottom up, really, and you're getting that strength maybe in the youth teams, and you're running as a business, which non-league not really sort of had that reputation for. You've got Billericay, Glen Tamplin, maybe doing it slightly differently, running the business, but you then got clubs like FC United. Is it going to be FC United's year to maybe make another major step up?
It's an interesting one, actually, because there's been a lot of changes behind the scenes, hasn't there? But the one constant is the manager, Carl Morrison's been there for a long time now. He's been there throughout the club's whole history. And it does feel as if it needs another push on again. Probably underperformed by their own admission last season. Lost a bit of momentum. It's a tough league, that National League North this season. It's a really, really tough league. Something's coming up, a lot of Blythe Spartans, Bennymoor. They've invested well in the summer. So I think it's going to be difficult for FC United this year. Again, with the backing that they've got, with the support, with Carl's experience, now, you just never know with them.
Mentioned these big name managers, maybe names that people that aren't into non-league would recognise instantly when they're spoken about at management level and player level as well. But we've got the FA Cup starting this weekend. We're going to chat to Phil Annetts at the FA Cup fact file a little bit later. Do you think, you're also ambassador at non-league day, which we're hopefully going to become even more successful this season. Could this be the season that non-league really pushes on after the success and Lincoln and Sutton in last year's FA Cup? Is the tide maybe changing?
I think we were almost spoiled last year, weren't we, if we're honest? Lincoln getting all the way to quarterfinals, Sutton eventually playing Arsenal. There was other ones as well, other clubs that did so well. Players National had a good run. Westfield, of course, had a good run. It was a really good year last year, and you just hope that we get something again this year. I think you could see, and I keep going back to them, but someone like Salford, who they've got a big squad these days, they're off full time. I could see them having another good cup run. But I think you may be right. I think the tide is slightly turning now, where people are, when I say people, I mean full time professional football league clubs are very rarely going against the league club. I think in the past, they probably knew that the fitness would kick in at some point. I think now, the way the majority of non-league clubs are run, the fitness doesn't come into it anymore. It's about the technical ability. And I can see, three or four teams this year having a right good go at the FA Cup. And I'm not going to say a match Lincoln, because I think that was a once-in-a-century sort of thing, wasn't it? I think certainly reaching the fourth or fifth round.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Mark. Looking forward to the season. Looking forward to keeping up to date with you throughout the season. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you soon.
Will do. Thank you.
Join him on the line, Phil Annette, known as the FA Cup Backfire. We follow him on Twitter, we read his previews, and he's done a fantastic preview for this weekend's games. It's the extra preliminary round, the start of the FA Cup. And Phil, it's the start of the FA Cup, and this is the real FA Cup, really, isn't it?
I believe it's the real FA Cup. Not really denigrating the later rounds, but this is where it takes place with real players and real clubs who are playing just for the love of playing football, with a hope of getting a little bit of glory on the back of winning an FA Cup game.
An announcement earlier today, this week, that the clubs that are playing at this level have an opportunity of being shown to the world. I think that's a game that you're off to.
Yes, we do. Yeah, I'm off to one of the three games I'm going to is Liverpool and the Nika versus AFC Liverpool. And the BBC have chosen to show that game live via their internet platform. And they also announced that they will show one game in every one of the preliminary rounds and the qualifying rounds. So real opportunity for great exposure, as you said, worldwide exposure for clubs involved in the FA Cup in these early stages.
And the BBC have chosen that game, and you'd already chosen it. Is that the prime tie of the round, as you see it?
I think it is a very strong tie. Actually, it was chosen for me. I put a Twitter vote out there, and that was the one that won. But it is a local derby, and so obviously that attracts attention. There's quite a lot of local derbies going on over the weekend. One that stood out early doors was the Northwich Victoria versus 1874 Northwich, which obviously has a lot riding on it between those two clubs.
You say a lot riding it. There's a lot of history involved in the FA Cup. And there's a couple of clubs that are making their FA Cup debut, despite maybe being around for a number of years.
There's a total of 23 clubs, I think, depending on who you check with, who are making their FA Cup bow this year, two of whom have waited an extremely long time to take part. Framlingham Town, they were formed 130 years ago and will be taking FA Cup action for the first time. And Chipping Sioux Town, I think, 133 years ago. And again, this is their first foray into the FA Cup.
And for these, not nearly wanting to denigrate them either, but they are small village clubs. It's a fantastic occasion to have the FA Cup, taking place in their village. I'm sure that'll bring a few more people out to watch the local side that might not have turned up previously. You got any insights as to how you can get more people along to these games and encourage people to get involved in watching non-league at this stage of the FA Cup?
Well, Framlingham themselves have had the FA Cup vigilant this week, so that has raised a lot of publicity. And I know a lot of the clubs have done a heck of a lot to try to raise the profile of the game within their local communities and through the local press. There's a buzz of excitement from these clubs. They love getting involved in the FA Cup. It's an opportunity for the players, the fans, the volunteers and the people on the board to all take part in a competition which is also involving clubs right up to the Premier League and the players of that league, and they can all say, yes, we were involved in the same competition as the Wayne Rooneys and the Pogbas of this world. And there's a lot of activity online and offline that they're doing to get people to come to these matches.
And I'd imagine as a player, whatever level of the FA Cup is the FA Cup, you build yourself up. You're going to put in the 120%, as they say. But for some of these lads, it's the first game of the season. They've just come out of pre-season, and do you think that's going to maybe affect some of the results?
Well, we saw some strange results when this happened last year for the first time when it was the first game. We saw a 12-0 win for Yaxley as an example, and that probably got contributed by the fact the opponents may not have had their full team out that day. But it is the first game, and it's a great opportunity for players to make a mark in a great competition. And in fact, some of the games are happening on Friday night, and as it happens, whoever scores first on Friday night will create a new record for the earliest in the season an FA Cup goal has ever been scored. So there's something really to play for those half a dozen or so matches that are happening on Friday night.
That's why we love you. Those stats, those sort of stats, that's fantastic. So are there any sort of big name clubs that people might have heard of from FA Cup runs in the past to maybe look out for their results this weekend?
Well, we've got Westfields are taking part again this season. They made a great name for themselves last year, making it all the way through to the first qualifying round, starting off in this same round. So that's a club to look out for. They've got another home draw against Bewdley Town, so they could hope to maybe emulate again what they did last year. In terms of big names, you've got Worcester City, who are taking part in the FA Cup extra Premier League for the first time in a heck of a long time. They, of course, famously back in the day beat Liverpool in a third round tie, which they obviously well remember. So they've got some FA Cup pedigree behind them already. And there's a few other clubs who have played in the first or beyond in the FA Cup as well. Clubs like Bishop Auckland, who have had a great history in the mid-50s, or they're regular members of the proper rounds of the FA Cup. So quite a few big names, yes.
And you mentioned Westfields there, and I know we spoke to them several times last season. And the money that they made from the FA Cup run... it's the sort of stuff that clubs at this level only dream of. I think even the prize money for this extra Premier round will go a long way for a club competing at maybe one of the lower levels.
Yes, it's about £1,500 for the winners of the tie, and that's quite a sizeable income, more than they get on a normal match day. Obviously, the further they go, the more money they'll get, as Westfields found last year. And it's still a bit of an inequality in terms of how the money is shared in the FA Cup. It's all weighted far too much towards the latter stages. And maybe the FA, as an opportunity, can look at how they can renew the balance and generate a bit more income for teams that take part in the FA Cup in these early stages.
Brilliant. And obviously, you've done a roundup and a preview of all of these games. And whereabouts can listeners find this?
Well, you can find it at facupfactfile.wordpress.com, or you can follow at facupfactfile on Twitter, where there's links to all of my stats and facts and charts and graphs.
Thanks very much for your time again, Phil. Phil Annetts at FA Cup Factfile on Twitter. Well, I'm sure we'll be hearing from him very soon again as the FA Cup kicks into action throughout the season. But thanks again for your time, Phil. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Cheers, mate.
That's it for this week. We are back next week and for the rest of the season on the Audio Boom platform, which means you can also catch us on iTunes, Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. Just search for the Non-League Football Podcast. And remember, if you want to put the podcast on your own website, check out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com, where you can grab an embeddable player for free. Thank you to our two contributors this week and for everybody who's listened. And don't forget, you can share the show on social media and encourage your friends and family to get behind Non-League Football. Joining in the conversation too on Twitter at Non-League Football Show. For now, goodbye.
Jibba Jabba Production. JIBBA.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.